why the oversight to Sentinel was cancelled, unannounced, and all that. We want to deal with that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the noted. We will deal with that in the next meeting. So, DDG in many days.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. I'm going to present on the tourist guide, which is a legislative requirement. The contents basically, as you see them on page one, it's introduction, the overview, the definitions. I'll really try to be short. I think there are key slides which I can spend more time on and skip the others. To indicate firstly that this is an area that in terms of transformation is still lags very, very behind. It's an area where we really need to focus on us listening to our CG in terms of how they have dealt with poverty, the issue of targeting. And for me, it was if we are to deal with most of the issues that we struggle with, targeting would be the key for us to deal with them. In terms of the legislative overview, the Tourism Act 2014, which became into effect on the 16th of June 2014, defines the scope of guiding and provides the framework for the conduct and governance of the tourist guiding profession. In terms of the regulations, we still use the 2001, which sets out procedures for the registration of tourist guides, the drafting of the code of conduct and ethics, and includes endorsements and suspension procedures, fines to be levied for non-compliance, and procedures for appeals. The amendment bill, which we have published in April for public comments, is still in the pipeline. I think as soon as it's finalized, we'll be able to finally deal with the regulations, which we're able to develop some other time, but not pass them because of the legislative review process. The definition in terms of the Act, we have in terms of who is a tourist guide, is under Section 50. Any person who for reward accompanies any person who travels within or visits any place within the Republic and who furnishes such person with information or comments. The categories include sites in terms of either provincial and or national. There are those tourist guides who operate in a provincial or as well as nationally. And the categories are further broken down as culture, nature, and adventure guides, and there are those who can deal with both at the same time. Then we have functions of the registrar, which are found under Section 48. Section 48 being the National Registrar, who is appointed by the Minister, whose main work is to maintain the central database, prepare code of conduct and ethics, hear and determine appeals, monitor trends and conduct research, publish and disseminate information on guides, facilitate growth and development, improve and maintain standards and liaise with various stakeholders on issues of guiding. The Provincial Registrar is under Section 49, appointed by the relevant MEC. He or she must keep a register of tourist guides, publish and disseminate information about registered tourist guides, promote and develop the sector, deals with complaints, exercise disciplinary powers, lay charges in case of contravention. And the following slide 7 and 8, shows the various sections and in terms of the information to it. I'll skip those and go to the statistical overview. In South Africa, there are more than 13,000 registered tourist guides. And over the last 5 years, we've seen a number of growth from 11,367 in 2014 to 13,279 by the end of 2018-19 financial year. In terms of demographics, the white tourist guides represent 65% of the total number of guides registered, while black guides represent 35%. The percentage representation of female guides has also been consistent over the years, with females representing only 32% of the total number of guides registered, whilst males represent 68%. The majority of guides are found in Western Cape, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga, and together they constitute 75% of all registered tourist guides in the country. Challenges in terms of achieving transformation in the tourist guiding sector include lack of employment and market access opportunities. Work which is often seasonal in nature, which acts as a deterrent to some of the tourist guides. Profession driven by passion. If you don't have the passion, you won't survive in the space because the financial gain is not as much as we know from other professions. And the department has seen these challenges, and we are endeavoring to make sure that we come up with projects to ensure that opportunities are created for black tourist guides to enter the guiding profession and ensure issues of sustainability form an integral component of all departmental initiatives involving tourist guides. Slide 10 just shows the statistical overview in terms of the graphs. And the following one is a breakdown in terms of provinces. As I've already indicated, the majority in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, as well as Western Cape. The skills development initiatives. We have what we call new entrants, and an area where we also upskill the existing. In terms of the new entrants, we had approximately 110 from the previously disadvantaged background whom were given opportunities to enter the guiding sector through a range of training programs. An example is the 20 guides who were selected to undergo adventure guiding, who were trained to deal with a hiking trail between Port Edward and Port St. John's. The guys were recruited from communities such as Nguza, Mbizana, Coffee Bay, and Port St. John's. And these individuals, in terms of the new entrants, also came from Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest, KZN. For upskilling, this is where the current existing tourist guides are upskilled in terms of their profession, and a total of 120 were upskilled 3 years ago in the six World Heritage Sites. The World Heritage Sites being Robben Island, Mapungubwe, Redeport Dome, Isimangaliso, Ukhuhlamba, Ukhuhlamba, Drakensberg, and Cradle of Humankind. In Simangaliso, we were able to train 25 of them, and but at the same time include an issue of enterprise development because it isn't a business on its own. Still on skills development, currently as we speak now, we are training 20 guys coming from Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and Gauteng on the Mandarin. So we have three Chinese facilitators who are assisting us in this regard through the embassy. We hope that in the second phase, they were going to be immersed, meaning they will have to go to China so that they really understand the culture and find themselves on a daily basis speaking the language so that they really become very articulate, if I may use it, with Mandarin. On the narrative development, we have two additional World Heritage sites. The other one is in terms of the narrative because it's more scientific, which is Makonjo. We don't have a problem with that. Kumani-san, the issue is that we need to make sure that the narrative is truly coming from the people within that space. We are doing this together with some parks. An awareness program is one crucial area which we have to vigorously work on, and we've been doing this in terms of ensuring that we deal with the illegal riding. There are a lot of tourist guides who are doing this illegally. And at the same time, we also have guides who see the private games, who most of them, they are not registered. So it's another area that we need to really make sure we go in. We have to go in with the Department of Home Affairs because they have their act allows them to move in such areas. Lilizala is another area which try to put the profession on the limelight in terms of the things that they do. It just shows the newsletter that we come up with in terms of information giving, as well as a leaflet where people say, how do I go about in becoming a guide? Shows the processes. So that's the one in the middle. It tells people how to go about to register as a guide. And the one on the right, we have realized that some time back, the badge that we have, it might be prone to being, what's the word, replicated or fraudulently being used. So we have engaged the government printing works who are currently assisting us to come up with a badge as well as a card, the next page, that one, which cannot be tampered with the way we have the normal ID card. So they are assisting us in this case. We normally do the illegal inspections at Oar Tambo, Sun City. The last time it was here, Table Mountain, and I think they were able to even, on the spot, arrest some of the illegal guides and even do the spot fine, because we normally do this with the police being part of the crew. The following page just shows those who have won the Nigella Award last year. Sydney Mikosi coming from Mboko as the best nature guide. Lelani from Western Cape and Kandi from Eastern Cape as an adventure guide. He's one of the tourist guides who are currently doing Mandarin. Last week, the 21st of February, was the International Tourist Guide Day. And he was telling me that he used to be a banker, but because of having passion in this, he decided to be a tourist guide. The following pages show the status of provincial registrar. And where you see the cross, it simply means there is some sort of a non-compliance in terms of there's no appointment by the MEC and the officer has not been gathered. So it's in that way. You might be having the old one which was not updated. So we're able to update it as soon as we got the correct information. And the inconsistencies that we have in this area
make it a little bit difficult because the question of the province really not seeing tour guiding as one of those that can forgetting that it is legislation that we have, this function in our state. It also will affect the database that the National Register is expected to maintain. And if you don't have, it becomes a little bit problematic because you have information that is inaccurate. And even the statistics may not reflect what is on the ground. In terms of the levels of the officials, because mainly you find that among the function of tourist guidance that you do as a provincial minister or a national minister, there are other things that you need to do. The only thing that we want is to see you being designated to say you are also doing this function. It doesn't mean you need to be solely functioning in that space. So what we have done is to visit provinces one-on-one in order for the heads of departments to really take into cognizance the importance of this function. And hence you are able to see almost 5 of them have really complied. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mem Rong. I was looking at the time and saying, she's coming, she's coming. We only have 6 minutes. Thanks, Mem Rong, and sorry for the pressure. We only have 6 minutes, honorable members, to probe into the presentation. Any appetite? Okay. We'll start this side. It will be Sherry M, and then we'll end at Honorable Kumba.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for indulgence. And my apologies for moving up and down. I'm facilitating something for list of speakers for the debate tomorrow. Honorable Chair, my question is just around one issue on the tour guides. You know, as much as we understand that there's a criteria that is set out to say a tour guide has to have this, have met these specific issues and be accredited as a tour guide, you have tour guiding at a local level or in a village where somebody can narrate the story and tell you really what has happened in that tourist attraction better than the person that is accredited. In that instance, Memoronga, how best are you assisting with ensuring that those type of indigenous people with so much wealth of knowledge are given that opportunity without putting so much red tape of restricting them to be able to narrate and give a tourist authentic information on a particular a village in rural area?
Thanks very much, sir. Not same. I don't have a question, man. I just want to register my discomfort a bit. I'm beginning to panic. For the past 6 months, every time there's a presentation, there's always an area where we're told that this has been lacking. And I'm beginning to worry. Now 25 years in the democracy, and we keep on talking about, you know, us not being able to reach our goals. Now, if you just listen to the Chinese rap or guy, who said this year they've set goals, this year 5.5 million wipe out poverty. And I just hope, Jay, that at least we have to change gear. We have to change gear. At least we can't keep on coming and saying we're unable to achieve this goal, we're unable to achieve this because of, there's always reasoning as to why we could not. I just wanted to register that.
Dr. Mutiga?
Chairperson, although I don't have a lot to say, I want to take you to slide number 9, where it is stated that the tourist guide are white dominated. And it's not something new in the, in fact, Chairperson, you are chairing a portfolio of the white dominated beneficiaries. It's just like that. Today we're talking of tourist guides, but when you go generally, following what the previous speaker said, we cannot blame white people anymore. It is the ANC government that is keeping the status quo go like this. I mean, really, 75%. And then you go to the women, they're only at 32%. General blacks is 35%. The rest is to the white people. White people have completed the governing in 1994. You can't blame them anymore. It's us, we are useless and we are not progressive and we are not decisive on what do we need to do. What we know is singing slogans in the rallies, unemployment, poverty, and inequality. That's what we know. But coming to implementation, nothing. So let's see what's going to happen.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. On slide 13, it talks about the 20... Mandarin persons trained, and I can understand why that would be important and necessary. I just want to find out, because I'm assuming that also we will have a lot of people coming from outside the country who are French, Spanish, and I'm not too sure Portuguese might be a bit smaller, but French, Spanish, and Portuguese in particular. Do we have any persons trained in those languages? Because I can imagine that there are a lot of people who come either side, and oftentimes they need guides who are also inter-ally translators at the same time, especially in business delegations and stuff. Do we have any of those? And if you are a company in any other country and you want to check the authenticity of a guide, so whether you are trying to send people over, you are checking the authenticity. Understanding that all these registers are in multiple places, are they able to check the authenticity in one singular place? So whether that is the SA Tourism website, or how would they go about checking that authenticity, that they're working with people who are accredited in South Africa? Sure.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Thank you, Chairperson of the committee. I think Honourable Moteka covered me, but I also need to stress the fact that the governing body, the governing party, which is the African National Congress, its three priorities is to address the unemployment, inequality, and poverty. And I see also we having a lot of gender imbalances here in terms of women and men, female and males. Most females are not being considered when coming to this training, especially, and also coming to color. We see the colored and Indians being not looked at in terms of balancing the numbers. At some stages, you find that there are zero zeros in some of the provinces, Northwest and Limpopo. Maybe it's the population of them, but it's also not showing very well that we are considering every nation because here we are non-racist as a government of the African nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I wish it was a space where all of us had control over. It's a voluntary kind of a profession. I've indicated the one needs to have passion. But going back, we knew very well that in this space, as the previously disadvantaged, we're not playing in the space. So the numbers that you see are the numbers related to those who have the passion and love for the profession finding themselves in the space. We'll play catch up because of the numbers that are in here in terms of the previously disadvantaged, they are still very little. Hence, even in our upskilling, we become very, very biased. We upskill the previously disadvantaged tour guides. In terms of the storytelling part of it, we realize that this is what builds the cornerstone in terms of as you impart knowledge of the area that you are familiar with. We partnered with the University of Pretoria in order to introduce this indigenous storyteller in the space. Hence, our partnership with SANParks, specifically for the Komani San, is that indigenous people should be the one who will be able to tell the story, not somebody from outside to come and tell the story of the Komani San when he or she is not the Komani San. On the issues of the Mandarin, I'll give it to Vesni or any other foreign language speakers in terms of tour guiding and the accreditation thereof. Vesni will take us through that. But broadly, this is the space where passion comes from the people who want to operate in it. But it doesn't stop us to target and get the young people, because the majority is male, white, old people whom we can utilize as mentors for the upcoming young people who are coming into the space. But they must have the passion to be the tourist guide, unlike just bringing everybody into the space. The next thing, we have a multitude of trained tour guides who are not even doing the work.
Okay, thank you, DBJ. The question around the foreign language guides, there is a database of tourist guides which also stipulates the foreign languages that one is able to speak. So it's quite extensive when it comes to foreign languages. The gap, I think, what we're trying to address with the Mandarin is that although there are people on the database that speak Mandarin, the problem is that none of them are South Africans or local South Africans. So this particular initiative is to address that gap. Furthermore, there are plans to do other trainings in foreign languages. We're trying to plan around German, French, Italian, because we are being informed through the sector that there aren't sufficient guides that are able to speak those languages. So in terms of the central point where one can obtain information about tourist guides, that will be our Department of Tourism. What we are attempting to do, which the DDG alluded to earlier, is a challenge, is consolidating all of the information that are coming from provinces when it comes to registered tourist guides. I think the main challenge there, though, is that some provinces have systems in place that make it easy to send the information through to us, but other provinces are actually not well equipped to maintain the registers in their respective provinces. So So we have the platforms already available. We have the website. We have an app developed where we can actually make this information available. But the challenge at the moment, like I mentioned, is around data integrity, which is something that we're working with closely with our IT unit to get resolved.
You will recall, honorable members, that we agreed last year that this year we are going to do intensification of oversight around issues of transformation in the tourism sector. And that every year in September, during the tourism month, we will give to the South Africans as the portfolio committee the progress we are making and the steps we are going to be taking to ensure that there is transformation. So, yeah, this is the year. This is the year. Thank you very much, Member Morongwa, and your team. Coming to the minutes, honorable members, the first set is the 3rd of December. Do we have a mover for adoption? Because they were sent to all of us in advance. Honorable Peters, move seconder. Seconder. Honorable Kumba. Thank you. The second set is 4th February, mover.
Gumba.
Honorable Gumba, seconder. Seconder. There was Peter. Honorable Peter, seconder. The last set is 18 February. Mover. Honorable Peter, seconder. Honorable Gumba. Okay, and Honorable Mien. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, and the collective from the department. This brings us to the end of the meeting. Sibonga kakhulu.